Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact. I've got a couple of the bad boys here with me. Sin City Steve, how are you?
I am doing well. How you guys doing?
We're great over here. Matt Michaels, how are you?
I am ready.
You are ready. It seems like you are ready. So we do have a special guest with us. She is the creative director and founder of Defila Sport. She is also a competitive grappler that has combined her high fashion, ready-to-wear background with her dedication to athletics to create Defila. Bad boys, welcome Isla Erickson. Isla, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. I was about to give you a new name. It was going to become Defila Erickson, but you are Isla.
That's fine. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, Isla, I almost said Defila now.
See, I told you.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll just...
Sometimes I meet people, they just know me from the internet, so they're like, cool, Defila. I'm like, sure, yeah.
let's get into your competitive grappling background. How did you start into grappling?
You know, I kind of briefly, I was working in fashion after college. I went to school for fashion design. And then, yeah, I was just kind of looking to get into shape after college and was a fan of UFC. And so I thought, oh, maybe jiu-jitsu would be fun. And eventually ended up there. And, I mean, LA is a great place to train. There's lots of good options, and that's actually kind of goes into how I got into doing ring gear, because I just made friends with MMA fighters, and back then there was even less options for ladies, especially for cool gear, so and MMA specifically, and so I just made some friends asked me to make stuff or alter their stuff to be a little bit better, and then I was just kind of, at the time I was working at swimwear companies, so it was easy to kind of shuffle a couple things through, and so that's how I got to do that, and then basically some of those gals moved over to wrestling from MMA, like Shayna was my first MMA client and my first wrestling client.
And what was it that you found was something that inspired you to do it? I know you said that there was a limited. Well, but making the transition, you know, so you start grappling and then you get this idea, hey, there's not a lot out there. And
yeah, it's funny because I actually resisted it for a long time because it seemed like too obvious. And I think that my fashion friends already thought that martial arts was like kind of dorky, so I was trying like not to like lean into it too hard, and I'm just like, oh gosh, like everyone thinks I'm gonna end up making jiu-jitsu gear or whatever, and that'll just never happen, and I just I could only resist it so long, I guess.
And how did it come about with Shayna?
Shayna I just met through grappling. And then a mutual friend of ours, you know, I had made an outfit for one of her teammates, and I was kind of just like, hey, I want to do your next outfit, and she put me in touch with her, or your next fight, and she put me in touch with her manager, and that was actually for her, last UFC fight was my only real MMA kit for her.
Very cool. Very cool. And so obviously, looking through your social media sites, I see that you've got quite a wide variety of designs and characters and things like that that you've worked with. Is there any particular design that really stands out as something that you are extremely proud of? Maybe something a cut above the rest? Obviously, you know, every single piece that you create is a work of art, but there has to be one that just stands up.
I feel like Shannon and I are in a really good groove, and I really like creating for her because we have such a nice rapport, and that she knows that I know her character, and she knows that I'm going to, you know, I just kind of text her a few ideas, and then I send her the gear, and it's kind of, you know, she gives me as much freedom as I want, but also she trusts me to not, like, send her on something that wouldn't make sense for her character. I'm also really liking Luchasaurus's gear right now. That's definitely some of my favorite current stuff, and he's also got a really unique thing going on, so it's just fun to be a part of for that. I made a really cool Deanna Bennett just fought in you guys are mostly wrestling, but and she just fought in Vista's Phoenix Rising tournament, mm-hmm. and that was one of my favorite fight kits I've ever made, and it's kind of fun to cross over. I feel like my MMA kits are like I since I've been doing wrestling, it's pushed me to like push the boundaries on the MMA kits a little bit more. So, sure. You know, hers was like metallic gold and stuff. You know, was something that almost would have, you know, she could wear wrestling too because it was just pretty flashy. And so anyway, that was something that I made recently that I'm pretty proud of.
Most definitely. Now, the overall process of creating a kit, what does that look like? Does the character, you know, the client give you design ideas, or do you ask for those, or how does that typically work?
Yeah, basically, I mean, as much I like it, if the client gives me as much direction as possible, and I sometimes will still, if I see something that, you know, I think would add to it and make it more interesting, then I'll suggest that. But I mean, it's great when people know what they want. They're more likely to like what I come up with than if someone kind of doesn't have any ideas. But also, I don't mind doing a couple edits to get there if the client is not sure. But usually they, you know, they can come to me with a few images of things that are similar, or just even some colors or a fit. You know, sometimes I'm like, oh, what like fit of, you know, sports bra and shorts do you like think looks good on you now, you know, and send me pictures of yourself and things that you think look good on your, you know, body, and go from there. But yeah, and then I mock it up on the computer, and it's like, yeah, I usually do these kind of technical mock-ups, which are sometimes like I know exactly what I'm looking at, and it's more like color placements. But I think once my clients get in with me, they get it. I don't do like a full illustration sort of thing. I just do these more technical drawings where it's really easy for me to, which makes it easy if the client wants me to drop in different colors, and we can just play around with it and see different options. It makes it easy to make those quick changes. And we can kind of test out different visual ideas.
Yeah, most definitely.
But yeah, and then I have access to custom printing, so then yeah, then I get, you know, the client approves the sketch, and then if there's printing needed, that's next, and I set that all up digitally as well. And yeah, I try and kind of group things so I don't have to go. I hate fabric shopping, so I try to like group it so I don't have to go more than once a week, because it's like torture for me. So
yeah, most definitely.
But yeah, I don't know why, I just like parking and stuff, I guess. Yeah. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm like parked in the fashion district. My girlfriend and they're like kicking me out of this parking spot.
That's awesome. Now, obviously, you know, with professional wrestling and MMA as well, going to more of an you know, entertainment base. Obviously, not disputing what's done in the octagon as being a shoot by any stretch of the word, but obviously, it's got to feel really good that people from all these different career paths and all these different associations are coming to you to have work done, which literally personifies them and their character and furthers their life.
Yeah, that's like, it keeps me going every day. It is really cool, and it feels it feels like I'm a part of something big when, you know, like for MMA, for example, if I can make a fighter feel like more of a badass and more like themselves and more comfortable and like they're able to express themselves, that's awesome. You know, that's really exciting for me. And I kind of think in general with, you know, clothing, there's a lot of options, but we shape our, like, I don't know, outside of costume and, what I do is just a way everybody can shape their identity through what you wear, you know, because it's one of the first things people see, and, you know, the way they can kind of develop an opinion. So it's even more exciting with any sort of performance where then, you know, the whole audience, everyone watching on TV can immediately kind of get what you're about a little bit by what you're wearing, which is it's cool. And like I said, it's cool. I mean, it's really cool for MMA because I feel like it's like so many people don't even have the opportunity or thought to put, they don't put a lot of thought into their outfit. So it kind of is nice to, it's like the contrast is so great. I mean, everyone in wrestling, like it's such a big part of, it's such an important part of wrestling, clearly the gear. So it's a little more expected that you have something pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, it's such an important part of wrestling too. So anyway, it's nice to be involved with it. It's really fun creatively for sure. And yeah, when the client's happy, that makes, you know, brings joy to my life. It's great.
Just looking at the wrestling singlets you have for actual mat wrestling, what kind of material do you use? Because I remember when I wrestled, the material was one of like the things I freaking hated about the singlets. There was no stretch, no give. It was uncomfortable. It was clunky, or it was too loose, and people could, you know, grab onto it and stuff like that. And we had just, you know, solid color. And you've got these awesome designs, and you know, so how, you know, what do you usually do for you know, the people who are using mat style wrestling singlets?
Well, I have sourced a great material for singlets, and it's super soft and super stretchy, but like I don't know, it's hard to describe like the different types of stretch that spandex can have, but it's, yeah, I know what you're talking about, how it would kind of like stretch out, the old stuff would stretch out and stay stretched, but thankfully, like, the tech in fabrics has come a long way since, you know, in the last 10, 20 years. I mean, think about the, you know, like, what a bathing suit in the 70s would have been made out of.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. So I feel like those kinds of fabrics have come, the tech just develops in them pretty quickly. And so there's, you know, I guarantee, like, whatever high school you wrestled for has, like, cooler uniforms now. You'd probably be jealous of you saw they have there. And sublimation really changed team sports apparel in general. I mean, especially at the, like, not necessarily, like, NFL, but changed, like, high school and, like, club teams a lot because you can do, you know, it's, basically can put any image, there's no color limit on the fabric, and the quantities don't have to be too high. It's not a process that requires like a huge minimum quantity, so you know, you can print as many as you need, and it's not like a huge setup fee or anything like that.
And one of the cool things too is not only do you do fight gear, But you also have done some rock show gear. What goes into what goes into, you know, creating something like that as opposed to actual athletic gear?
Well, you know, actually the so creating for rock stars, Grimes is really the main touring artist I've done costumes for, stage gear, I guess I called it, because she really likes that it was made by an activewear maker, because I do a lot of work to source the best moisture wicking, washable, comfortable spandex fabrics. And she, you know, being on, going on a tour is, as a rock star, is not that different probably from the life of a wrestler, in that they're, you know, kind of have just a duffel bag with some gear in it, and they have to wash it on the road, and, you know, you're traveling, it's annoying to haul all the stuff around, and, you know, she's on stage dancing and doing her, you know, under lights and sweating for 2 hours, and honestly, like, being in a nice moisture-wicking activewear fabric is probably, it's stretchy, is way better than being in, you know, whatever a stylist would grab, or, you know, someone that doesn't do activewear would make. So it actually works to my advantage that, I know activewear, you know, because that's kind of what she, and it was really cool, because her stylist had given her a duffel of things, and her stylist was like, oh my gosh, every show she has other things to wear, but she's just wearing her stuff every show. I really like it. I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. So she, and she was a big fan of, she's a fan of MMA and a huge fan of Ronda Rousey. So she was, they actually sought me out because they wanted something that was kind of an authentic fight gear thing.
Nice.
You know?
Awesome. Yeah.
So. Very cool. Now, obviously, you know, we've mentioned a few names. We mentioned Shayna. We've mentioned Luchasaurus. We've mentioned Grimes. You've also done some work for Joey Ryan and Matt Riddle, to name a few others. Are there any names that you haven't worked with yet that you would love to make gear for?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Well, you know, the thing is that people, I feel like, that have been doing, you know, like the big main roster, WWE folks, they've been doing it long enough that they probably have a really good relationship with a gear maker, and they have it dialed in. So I basically have been getting a lot of my clients, and what I like and happy with is when they, right as a wrestler makes kind of a step up from indies to like starting to get, you know, if they start training at the performance center, a lot of times they feel like now's a good time to step up their gear game. And I have a lot of clients at the performance center, so that's when I end up getting a lot of people, right, kind of right when they're brand new there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. And it's kind of a nice, I guess I'm not really answering your question, but people that I want to work with. I mean, it'd be cool to work with Rhonda because I work with the rest of the four horsewomen of MMA. So it'd be cool to kind of circle that off with Rhonda too, but I don't know. I kind of love my clients. I get like a little sad if someone, like, it doesn't happen very often because I do a good job, but every now and then someone will like, I'll be like, oh no, yeah, like that, someone else made his pants. I can't take it personally because it's usually, you know, someone just, they found something a little cheaper or whatever close by. So, I mean, you know, don't think I've left too many unhappy customers, because if something doesn't come out right, I just remake it. I don't know. I just try and do a good job with the clients I have, so that when someone new comes, I want to make sure I can take good care of them too. So, you know, you hear a lot of people kind of, that have a hard time getting stuff made on time, for their shows. and I'm just a super deadline-driven person, and so if someone gives me a date, then they get it at a date, and, you know, unless it's like, you know, sometimes if they'd be, oh, can you make something for this, you know, I'm just honest with them if I can get it done for them or not, basically. Yeah. And, I don't know, yeah, I just like to do a good job for the people I have, and I'm not really worried about, you know, it seems like a lot of cool people hit me up to make gear, so I just did Jungle Boy's new AWP trunks, and that was my first time. I actually wanted to work with him, so that was cool that he hit me up through, which, you know, he's working with Luchasaurus, so I've been working with Luchasaurus for a while, so
that's awesome.
Made sense, but I was very excited about that. I'd like to learn more about making masks. I've only made a couple masks, so that's kind of something I'd like to explore more. Sometimes I'm like, oh, maybe I should just, like, take a year off and find, like, a cool mask maker in Mexico or something.
Yeah, that'll be smart.
Their mystical mask-making ways, but anyway. Probably won't happen, but it's a nice idea.
Yeah.
But I'd like to learn more about mask making. That would be cool. And I've made a couple for Excalibur, and they came out pretty well. So.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That is awesome. Isla, what is the best way for folks to get in contact with you? Give us your social media and your website.
Website is defilasport.com, D-E-F-I-L-A. Sport.com, and then my Instagram and Twitter are at DefilaSport.
Perfect.
So it's all the same.
Yeah. So thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. I'm pretty sure that a lot of the indie wrestlers out there are like, oh wow, now I got a new contact now that I can reach out to for getting
totally.
Gear. Yeah. So,
indie wrestlers, I want to see you in spandex, DJ.
Ooh.
Well, I am bringing my sexy back. So,
you wrestling?
No, I don't even come close to wrestling.
Okay. You were just looking at spandex.
Right. Well, actually, no. But
everyone looks good in spandex if you have enough confidence.
There you go. That is awesome. All right, awesome. Thank you, Isla, for hanging out with us, and we'll probably chat with you in the future again.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, cool. We'll be right back. You know, Simon Street's here, but he's...
Hey, what's up, yo?
Yeah, he's taking a business call, so he'll be back in just a moment. That was Matt Michaels, but I'm going to come back to him in a second. Sin City Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We're good. And now the real Matt Michaels.
Hey, I'm very excited because I thought the show wrapped up on HBO, but apparently we got it here today. We got Brent of Thorns.
Pretty much. On our line, we have the Arizona Wrestling Federation Women's Champion, Brynn Thorn. Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Oh, we're good. We're peachy. Awesome.
So, Brynn, you are definitely what we would refer to as an up-and-comer. You are just kind of taking Arizona wrestling by storm. And I just want to know, for your beginnings, did you start wrestling as a fan, or did you get into wrestling another way?
I would say I definitely started as a fan. Like, I, obviously, like, a lot of wrestlers, like, grow up and they're like, I want to be a wrestler, and then they end up doing it. That was kind of my case. I started by obviously, like, growing up as a fan, and then I started going to the local wrestling shows, and I found out about the school, and I was like, all right, I got to do it.
So at what point, what age were you when you actually started training?
I was 14.
Wow. Look at that.
Okay.
Was there, now, with that start, was there a kids class that they offered, or were you in with, you know, just people who were, you know, 18, 22, 36, just starting out?
Oh, I was thrown right into the adult classes.
And how was that? I mean, was it, did they treat you, because when I trained in pro wrestling, I know that there was, it was still the days of like sailor talk and, you know, and just rough and tough and just machismo. And there wasn't a lot of women, let alone women who were like 14 years old. What was that experience like for you?
It was definitely eye-opening because, like, I was obviously, like, so nervous and so new to it. And I hadn't actually, like, started wrestling on shows until I was about 16 or so because there was an absence of women in Arizona, at least. But when it came to training, I was in such a different environment than I've ever been. And it changed me as a person, but it was like a good kind of changing as a person, if I can put that into like a different kind of wording, because it helped me become who I am.
Right.
And because of like my trainer and the way he's trained me and like the discipline and like the mental things that they make you do and like pushing yourself, you know, it is just super awesome that like now like there's so much cool stuff going on. As far as like how there's like a lot of women now, like you were saying, how everything back then was like machismo, and like there weren't a lot of women, especially like that young.
Right.
And so it's definitely something unique, and it's just great.
Who was the trainer?
So at Arizona Wrestling Federation, our main trainer is Triple X Lawrence Tyler.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. And is there anything that you would say that, I guess this is a two-parter, anything that you learned from him in particular that applies to the ring and the ring style that you take to the ring now? And then anything that he might have taught you that's kind of influenced your life and helped you grow, like you said?
Okay. Yeah, like I wouldn't say like old school, but he is an older, I would say older, but basically like if I took anything to the ring from him, I would say like he's very nitpicky in a good way. And so I try to be like, you know, open-minded with everything that I do, but also keep in mind that it's the small things that matter too. And he's always showed me the small things matter. And there's always like room to improve and whatnot. So like, with that being said, like anything I do in there, I'm thinking like, like how would he criticize this, or what would I do? What should I do different? But, as far as like how he's helped me grow, like from starting to like now, it's just like helping me toughen up most definitely. 'Cause he definitely pushed me to toughen up and, you know, have thicker skin, as well as like being able to push past my limits. So
that's incredible. That's exactly what you want from a trainer. And obviously it's really paid off because, you know, again, you're on the rise. So with it being a start at 14, obviously your parents had to support you in this decision, or else you're basically just sneaking in without them knowing. So how was it that, were your parents fans of wrestling, and what, you know, was it a, you know, well, we'll let her try this and maybe she'll grow out of it type of thing, where they thought it was a phase?
It's actually kind of funny because they were never, ever into wrestling. It was always just me, like not even my brother or anything like that. It's like my own little individual, like my obsession. Like it's just, I loved it more than anything in the world. And so with that, like my parents, they knew how much I loved it. And with it, like the school and everything, they're like, all right, well, you know, we'll let her try it and everything. And then they came in and watched for like a while. And eventually they just like started dropping me off. Like they've always been like my number one supporters. Like, they've always been there for me, like through the best times and the worst times. Like even like when they weren't there and watching me struggle, they've been there when I have done really well. And they've been there when I've up like at a bad time. Like it's just, they are always like my number one supporters, even if like they aren't into wrestling. Like they just, they're so proud of how far I've come.
That is wonderful to hear. And a follow up on that, I'm assuming they've seen you wrestle an actual match, correct?
Yeah.
So were you nervous the first time that you knew they were going to be in the audience for an actual match?
Oh God, yeah. I mean, with my first match in general, I was 15, and it was like a student showcase. It was before I was Bryn Thorne, actually. But I was just—I had my entire family there, and I was so like overwhelmed. Like I've never been so scared in my life, you know, nervous wise.
What would you say they were? Would you say they were prouder of that? And the only reason I'm saying this, because you were 15 and that was your first match. They came and they saw, and there was this, you know, beaming proud. Were they prouder of that moment or graduating high school?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. All right. Well, I am the first of their children to graduate high school. so that's a pretty good one. I would say, well, I think graduating high school is relatively, like, expected, you know?
Right.
So I think with the first match, like, they just were just like, man, like, this kid, like, she could really do something with this. Because, like, it's like their little girl, you know, just, like, doing what she loves. I think they were really, really proud of that one.
That's awesome. And so obviously, I mean, you're growing up in the ring, quite literally. What kinds of things do you like to do outside of the ring, though? Do you have any passions outside of the ring?
Yeah. So I am super, super, super into haunting and like haunted places, like hotels, haunted towns, everything like that. I love traveling to them, and I love all kinds of stuff, like all kinds of shit, like local coffee joints, local food, all kinds of stuff. I always choose, like, you know, like local places that you know, you can support somebody other than, like, you know, a corporation or whatever, you know.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And so obviously your affinity for haunted things. Have you been in any places that have just really freaked you out or kind of set you off?
I've been to a handful of places that are definitely like famous for being haunted.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like scaring myself or like freaking me out, that it's like the presence of it that freaks me out. It's not like the actual place, because the actual place is like badass to me. Mm-hmm. Like the presence of them, like I'll give you an example. Like they're up north in Arizona, there's a small mining town called Jerome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is notorious for being haunted. It's not necessarily like, you know, like not famous, quote unquote, but it's pretty well known. Like it's been on some shows and whatnot. But I stayed at their Grand Hotel, which was a former hospital, and had thousands of people die there.
Oh, geez.
And so, yeah. And so I was like, oh, hell yeah. Like, we got, like, I had to go, right? And I went with my mom. And I was like, all right. So, like, so obviously, like, the haunting hour is, like, 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, I'm going to go out there. And I think the haunted floor was, like, the second or third floor. And I snuck out. And I was, like, walking out at night around there by myself, by the way. Around there, and I was recording, and I was like, "Oh, this is so fucking cool!" And I swear to God, I wish I had the footage of it, but I swear, like, I saw orbs. No joke. I saw like orbs. If you know what that means, you know what that means.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
Go ahead and tell the listeners what orbs are, because I think this is something, if someone doesn't, you know, follow any kind of hauntings and stuff, I think orbs are very fascinating, and I think describe it so they kind of get a full picture here.
So basically, orbs are like, I don't, in a simple way to put it, it's like basically evidence that if you're recording something or you're taking a photograph of something, that the energy of a spirit basically shows up, and it's not like a physical, it is a physical like presence. So like, right, if you see a ghost, then the orb might be the like evidence of it being there, not like the physical like body of a ghost. It might just be like their energy, you know? Right. So I saw like all, like, I was like, I always love reading up about the history of these places. Like, I will sit there for hours and just read. And I'm not a reader either. Like, I don't even read books. Like, I'll just read on the internet about these things. No joke. And so, like, I sneak out, and I'll go, and I'll, like, look around, and I look at, like, the history, and I'm like, damn, like, this happened here. Like, somebody was straight up gutted here and just laid to die. And I'm standing, like, right where they died. Like, all right, that's dope.
Whatever. With haunted places, have you been out to Zach Bagans' haunted museum here?
Okay. I have been to a place that I've been to that Zach Bagans has been to very recently, actually. I was in Savannah, Georgia. And I don't know if you guys saw that, but I was in Savannah, Georgia, and I was at, which is also like one of the most very haunted places in the United States. And I'll tell you guys why, if anybody wants to know. But I went to a place called the Sorrel Weed House, which they based an entire episode off of.
Yeah.
And I had like the vibes there. I was like, oh, I was in heaven. Oh, I was so happy to be there. I was just like fascinated. Like, oh my God, like the history here. And so like, the history there is that, like, it was, like, slave quarters and everything. There's, like, you know, a wealthy husband and wife, and a whole bunch of stuff happened. And the wife was basically, I would say she was pushed out of the window. It was either that or she jumped out, but her husband was behind her. A whole thing happened, you know. And just a lot of just awful things happened there. But the tour guide was, like, showing us, like, all this evidence of, like, you know, what people have, like, taken pictures of and, like, seen. It's just, like, horrific. And, like, they let us take pictures in there, and I literally got every square inch of that house. No joke.
So, Zach Bagans has
a... awesome.
That's awesome. Zach Bagans has a museum here in Vegas. And it's, you know, it's the Haunted Museum. You got to come out, and you got to go, because...
I had no idea.
Oh, okay. I'll text you the
Oh my link. God, seriously, yeah. Next time I'm in Vegas, I'm definitely going.
Oh yeah, it's phenomenally fun. There's a lot of the divot box is there. If you know what that is, if you don't know what that is, look it up, everyone, because the divot box is one of the most horrifyingly evil things in this, you know, world. And there's just a bunch of stuff like this. But one of the things that you're going to really dig at this place, and this is why I know you got to go, he has a room that has, like, I believe it's Charles Manson's teeth. Yeah, like stuff from Dahmer. All it's basically a serial killer room.
Oh my gosh, that's badass. I actually have a funny story about that.
Yeah.
Have any of you ever been to the, I'm drawing a blank, Murder Museum in L.A.?
Yes.
Okay. That is like, I was in there for hours. I was having, like, such a grand time. Like, I also have a fascination with serial killers. Not like a weird one. Just like, I like to do research on it. It's like nothing, like, out of the ordinary. Like, I'm just, like, one of those people that finds it really, like, fascinating. So, I was there, and I was there with my boyfriend and my grandma, and my grandma also loves it. Like, it's just like a weird thing. Like, she loves that shit too. And so I'm like looking at all the stuff, like, from, you know, the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez, and Jeffrey Dahmer. And I actually saw, like, they had, like, Jeffrey Dahmer's handwritten letters. Oh. And I was like, oh, my God. And they had them out in a book, like, so you could, like just plastic covering it, and you just flip through it and all this stuff. And there's a camera. There's cameras all over the place, obviously. But I was just like, oh, my God, all right. I'm about to sneak this. Nobody, like, I'm, like, looking on my shoulder. I'm like, all right, nobody's around. So I took it out, and I'm, like, literally touching it. I took it out of the paper and everything, like, holding Jeffrey Dahmer's handwritten letter. And I'm, like, reading it. I'm like, oh, my God, this dude, like, oh, all this stuff that he did is just gruesome, you know? Like, and I'm, like, making sure, like, I, like, turn my back towards the cameras, so, like, they couldn't see me doing this. And, like, I skedaddled out of there after. But, like, it was super cool. And all the stuff in there is just, like, super interesting. Like, all the Charles Manson and, you know, like, Ted Bundy and, yep, you know, like, all those serial killers.
Well, it's really interesting, too, with L.A. Zach just purchased, like, recently the La Bianca house. So
okay.
I got a feeling that by doing so, he's either going to bring some of that stuff here to Vegas for the museum, or I have a feeling he might turn that house potentially into some kind of walkthrough tour where he might, you know, start housing, like, the murder type stuff there. It's just, it's fascinating, all this serial killer stuff. I've been fascinated since a little kid. And growing up in Chicago, Jeffrey Dahmer, that all went on when I was about 14, 15 years old. So,
wow.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is we're talking about kids who were just 4 or 5 years older than I was, who were, you know, becoming dinner. So it's creepy as hell, but it's fascinating.
Yeah, that's for sure. Like, you'd think, like, any average person would never do something like that, and then, like, the average people end up doing shit like that.
Well, you know, and that's the other thing too. When I was a younger kid, you know, Chicago was the home for Gacy, John Wayne Gacy. So I was literally that age of the kids he was killing. And, you know, he was a fucking little league coach, man. He was a little league coach. Could you imagine? Ooh. Yeah, like, you go into something like Boy Scouts or Little League or Girl Scouts, you know, when you're young and you trust these people. And then, you know, he's also a fucking clown. It's scary as hell. What, you know, it's just, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. I love that you're into that stuff, but you're not, like you said, you're not creepy into that stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm not, like infatuated and, like, attracted to them. Like, that's, like, this weird shit that I just don't understand. Like, how could somebody, like, feel that way towards them?
Like, yeah, the ones who, like, end up marrying them, like, when they're in prison and shit like that. So, along those lines, with, you know, with that type of interest, do you take that side of kind of seeing the profile of these characters and bring them kind of to your philosophy of wrestling? Have you ever, like, incorporated, like, you know, or looked at them like, you know, I mean, they're so crazy, they're batshit. Ooh, maybe I could, you know, use a little bit of this into my character.
Well, that's definitely, like, yeah, it's like, that's a very interesting way to look at it, because, like, I've been told that I'm, like, I'm very aggressive. Like, they, like, a lot of fans in Arizona call me Little Miss Intensity and stuff. And I'm like, all right, well, that's pretty cool in my opinion. But, like, obviously, like, I don't think I'd go in there and try to purposely kill somebody with a knife, but I would definitely, you know, maybe take that, like, if, you know, I'm looking to be a little more, like, scary, or, you know, a little more, like, what the fuck, you know, and maybe I could, you know, bring that. But definitely, that's a cool way to look at it. Like, I would, I mean, not intentionally try to do that. Like, I haven't intentionally yet. You know, that's a very good idea. Like, I'm down for it, you know? But, but, like, I feel like my intensity could be looked at, like, okay, like, she could get inspiration in a good way, not a bad way from that, you know?
Yeah. No, it's, you know what, that's the fascinating thing about that is anytime you're a performer, any kind of entertainer, you always tend to look at people from a different perspective. And that is, you want to kind of understand the psychology of why people do certain things. And at the very least, it's, you know, again, a character, when you do a character, is a persona of yourself that's a high intensity. I'm glad that the, you know, Little Miss Intensity, that's freaking awesome, because you're doing a higher version of yourself, essentially. And you, like you said, subconsciously, you're probably bringing some of that stuff that you're learning over the years to that character. But what will make it awesome is that chance that you get to do, you know, that turn of a character. You have something that you're passionate about that you could actually use to make that happen with your character. And it would come off very creepy, you know, very, you know, like, whoa, this person is a little, you know, not there. And, but it's not anything that you're betraying your own, you know, yourself. You're still along the lines of, you know, you're not just playing a crazy person. You're doing actual psychology work. And I think that that's one of the things that you're growing into is your psychology of your in-ring style and your persona of character is growing day by day. It's amazing. Is there anything that you're finding that gets you in that place in the ring that you're able now to do those little things that you were, you know, taught, you know, you have to look for the little things. Is there anything that is really step up that game? Because you're definitely growing like leaps and bounds in that category, and it's amazing to watch.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I would say that, like, mostly it just comes from just like making mistakes and then learning from them and just continuously practicing, like, and like catching myself in the act of doing them and just being like, oh fuck, all right, don't do that again. And then I remember next time I'm like, shit, okay. But yeah, like it's like I'm in the zone when I'm out there. I'm just like just thinking, like not thinking, but like feeling it out sometimes. Yeah. And I'm just like, damn, like I'm like, okay, like maybe I should, you know, not do that next time, or like, you know, better not than to do that. I'm very hard on myself, like very, very hard on myself. And like, it's good and bad at the same time. So like, I'm just like, do not do that again. I'm like, okay, do that again. That like looks good. It got a really good reaction from the crowd, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing. I think that's exactly what you need to be focusing on and looking for, because a lot of times that crowd, you know, feeding into you is something that when you're young, you don't really understand it. But as you start growing and doing it, you know, more and more as you mature in the ring, you realize that there's just certain little things that you want to try to get the audience to hit this and hit that. And then there's stuff that you go, oh, I never even thought they'd react like that on this. Ooh, I got something here. So I'm glad that you're aware of that. And please, if fans out there, if you haven't seen Bryn wrestle, go to YouTube and watch some of her matches, because you'll see what we're talking about. You know, she's really, really great at telling stories.
Definitely.
Oh, thank you.
So I just want to go back to something that you had mentioned a little while ago. You mentioned that when you first started training that, you know, there weren't any women in your training class and things like that. What do you think of the increase in popularity and a focus on women's wrestling?
Well, honestly, like, I think it is so just like, there's no words to put it that it makes me like so happy to see like the, like how far women have come to. Like when I, like you were saying, like when I first started, like I hadn't had many women at all. Like everybody who came, who's in Arizona wrestling, that, you know, you haven't seen before, they came like way, like a little bit, quite a bit longer after me. And so, and that's even like, they even like debuted at the same time as I did. So like, that's the thing. I was there for a while, and, you know, then they all started coming and whatnot. But like, the fact that there's so much more women coming now is just so fantastic, because I feel like my job as a female wrestler is not only to entertain the crowd and, you know, make sure that they go home and that they're like happy and, you know, like they like came to see and have a good time and, you know, but like also that, like, that their little girl or their little boy even, you know, has a hero to look up to, good guy or bad guy, you know, like, my goal is to make sure that that little kid has a hero to look up to, especially a female hero to admire and look at, and then like look at as a role model, you know? So seeing how far, you know, women's wrestling has come is like a dream come true for many people in a way, because it's like, all right, well now my kid has like a way cooler hero to look up to now.
Without a doubt. And, something that kind of ties in with that a little bit too. What are your views on intergender wrestling and the rise of that, especially in the indies?
Oh, I love it. I was trained to wrestle like a man. Mm-hmm. And so that's probably why they call me Little Miss Intensity too. Cause I'm just like, rah! You know? And so like I love wrestling, guys, cause it makes you think a little more when it comes to like, you know, what should I do with this? You know, like, it's a little more, there's an open slate when you're wrestling females, but it's also an open slate when you wrestle males. Like, it's not like always, you know, like a bad thing. Like, I also, like, a lot of people don't like it because it's like not technically traditional, but honestly, like, wrestling's wrestling in my opinion. And like, it's so unique in my eyes because there's like different, there's size differences and there's personality differences. And so the size difference makes you like wonder, like, okay, how is this really going to turn out? You know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and that's a really good way to look at that for sure. So, one thing that we're going to do is we're going to do some quick word association, and we've got a segment on the show where I'm going to just name off a list of names or promotions, things of that nature. And I just want you to tell me the first thing that pops into your head, okay?
All right. I'm probably going to be terrible at this, but go ahead.
You know what? Hey, there are no wrong answers. That's the best part about this. So so we'll go ahead and get this going.
Sin City Steve, 70 Deadly Seconds starts now.
Arizona Wrestling Federation.
Home.
Jack Jameson.
Oof.
Heather Monroe.
Cat Lady.
Maserati.
Bad Bitch.
Sandra Moon.
Moon Pie.
Leslie Iris.
Bluehead.
Zeta Zhang.
Cool.
Sonoran Championship Wrestling.
Interesting. I don't know.
Desi Dorado.
Like, I don't know. Sweet.
Joey Ryan.
Dick. Guy. Dick guy. Not dick. He's not a dick. He's not a dick.
Shotzi dick Blackheart.
Guy. Ballsy Badass.
And lastly, but certainly not least, Party Hard Wrestling.
Fucking great.
Awesome.
Half of those, I'm like, oh shit, oh shit.
Well, speaking of, that's a perfect segue into our oh shit moment. Simon, you want to take it?
Hey, how's it going? This is Simon Street, and this next segment is entitled The Oh Shit Moment. This is an opportunity where you get a chance to tell us, Vegas Bad Boys and all of our listeners, a time that you have experienced something so chaotic, so crazy, whether it was in the ring, outside of the ring, in a grocery store, at a haunted house, or just at a playground, surprisingly enough. Please indulge us with the story of your oh shit moment.
Okay, so the first one that comes to mind is one I actually hate talking about, which I'm totally, it's okay talking about it with this, because it did happen in a wrestling ring.
Okay.
I was on a show in Los Angeles, and there was a spot that was supposed to happen where I was going to be military pressed out of the ring, Tessa Blanchard style, and didn't quite go accordingly. And I basically hit the rope and would have tumbled down to my death. I'm just joking. It could have been to my death, but I'm staying over dramatic. But it was relatively high up, and basically my foot got caught on the rope, and thankfully I grabbed it, but it looked like a gnarly fall, and I hit myself so hard I knocked the wind out. Ooh. And
Ooh,
I was down there for a minute or so, and everyone was like, oh my god, is she okay? And everyone's like, oh shit, like, when I show you the video, it's like, everyone's like, oh shit! And I was like, am I getting up right now?
My goodness, well, thank you so much for sharing that with us with the Oh Shit moment. And go with next with Mr. Impact.
Oh, that's me. Hey, Bryn, just tell us, what's the best social media sites for people to keep up with you?
All right. So we have on my Instagram, it's Bryn of the Thorns.
Yes.
And then Twitter, it's Bryn of Thorns. And then on Facebook, it's just Bryn Thorne.
Keeping it simple. Was you a big fan of the whole Game of Thrones?
I am actually not.
Oh,
I've
wow.
really gotten into it.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. You were just keeping it original. Well, look, thanks for hanging out with us and chatting with us today. We appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you guys so much for having me.
All right. Everyone, Bryn Thorne.
Woo!
Vegas, Bad Boys of Podcasting, holding you down since day one, January 2019.
The hottest podcast in the universe.
There's like 1,000 podcasts.
Vegas Bad Boys Day One. Say
different,
thoughts,
outrageous,
interview,
exciting,
interesting,
intriguing,
amazing,
funny, intergalastic.
Bad Boys.
If you haven't listened to all of our podcasts, take a listen of what you might have missed. JTG.
Shad and I. Shad was the big guy. Is it the same size? One is a little bit fatter, right?
Yeah.
One is cut. Yeah. One is kind of like pudgy.
Yeah, that's Angelo.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess it's kind of similar to me, Shad. Yeah, I'm kind of like the...
Al Snow.
Well, yeah, I did. I actually wrote a book. I also, just so you guys know, I do magic for the blind.
Wow.
It's my way of giving back to the community, yeah. You know. It's, let me tell you. It's like, it's really, is this your card? And it's like, I don't know. And you're like, it is. Ta-da. Like, oh my God, I do it.
Jeff Cobb.
You know, I don't plan to wrestle in my late 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s. Like, you know. And, but, you know, again, I say that now, but...
Right.
it's like the weirdest addiction ever, you know? Like,
yeah, we know. B. Brian Blair.
All of a sudden, I look in the mirror and Terry's, you know, spanking his woody on top of the back of Coco's ass.
Oh!
His pants ripped, and I'm going, oh my gosh, man, we're going to prison.
Vicky Guerrero.
You know, you are definitely, in our minds, a Hall of Famer. Because...
I'll give you $5 later, guys.
Theo Landers.
How do you guys do this? Are you guys in like a recording studio? Or are you guys in a home studio?
Hey, you don't contact WWE Creative and ask them how they write Raw, do you?
We're
all in a bathroom.
We're in a
right
bathroom. Yeah, we're in a bathhouse. We're
in
all
a bathtub.
You're in a bathhouse.
Okay. Yeah.
RVD.
If I hit a squirrel with my car, it would totally ruin my day. I mean, I'd get out of the car and I'd try to save it, you know. And
Selena De La Renta.
When you say Selena at work, Selena in real life, it's about the same. It's a preparation for my everyday life. It's about the same my preparation for MLW. The only thing is I need twice the amount of makeup and probably tighter dresses. But
Nick Aldis.
I do love Vegas, and you know what's funny is that, like, the first time I went was actually for TNA when I debuted with the Main Event Mafia. I'd never been to Vegas before then.
Wow.
in many ways, it's really the showbiz capital of America.
Yep.
You know, like, there's so much show business going on there all the time. I just love that vibe.
Vegas Bad Boys, a podcast, has over 50 interviews, and they keep on coming. Make sure you subscribe. Keep listening. Write a review about our podcast. Come to our live events. Participate in our contest. Like our social media. And most importantly, tell all your family and friends about us. We're Vegas born, and we are Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.